ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ गणानां त्वा गणपतिं भवामहे कविं कवीनामुपमश्रवस्तो भ्राजो दधातो ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः. The best prayer, Medha Suktam, and the best complete prayer is the Ganapati Association. Very beautiful. And the Upanishad we are studying now also is from Atharva Veda. That's good. The Ganapati Atharva Sirsham itself is from Atharva Veda only. Ganapati Upanishad is from Atharva Veda. We will be what you chanted. That's also Atharva Veda. And the Upanishad we are studying also is from Atharva Veda. The Shanti Mantra for the Atharva Veda is the same. Badram Karnabhi. See, every Veda has shown Shanti Mantra.
Now, my question is, Yajur Veda is classed as first one.
So, that is not... No, all the Vedas are equally important. All the Vedas are equally important. See, what happens is Rig Yajus Sama Atharvana. They say that. The Rasbitic order, Rig Yajus, Ra Ra. Ra, ya, like that. Rig yajus sama atharvana. They say, Rig yajus sama atharvana. There is order. It's not like that. One is important, not like that. See, all the Vedas are equally important. See, all the, from every Veda, you don't study the whole Veda actually. The Karmakanda part is different. And from there, what we are chanting now, where the mantras of, mantra wherein we praise. Glorify the Lord, or the Upanishad means all talking about the Swarupa of the Ishara. That only we study here. No, not that one way is superior to other, no. All are equally great. Because no Veda date is known for any Veda. There is no date, which came first, which came after, no such thing. And we say all these mantras are timeless Shastra. Timeless. If you ask me, when was it written? Who wrote it? What is the date of, you know, pre-Vedic and post-Vedic? People talk about it. Really speaking, Vedas have no time. Nobody can exactly say, this is the time, no? Before Christ, after Christ, BC, AC, we have given some year, we say that. No, there is no date for this. Veda has no rishi, no name is left behind. Sometimes we make out, oh, this must be the name of the Rishi, Angiras. You know, Atharva Veda also is known after the name of the Rishi only, Atharva. And Vyasa compiled, he gave the name, Atharva Veda. And all the mantras, Rik means a mantra. Richaha means mantras. And many Riks put together, they were just mantras. And then, you know, Rig. It's a tune, you say that. No, yeah, Sama means a tunes. Sama Veda, Sama Gana. That is where Ravana was.
As the music and arts.
This, the present section, the second Mundaka, first section is actually in fact, the core of the text, whole text, Upanishad. This reveals the Swarupam of the reality. When I say reality, this part, this portion of the Upanishad serves really, reveals the nature of Brahman. So, Brahmanaha Lakshanam Pratipadayati, or Brahmanaha Swarupam Pratipadayati. It reveals the Swarupam of Brahman, or it reveals the Swarupam of reality. When I say it reveals the reality, in fact, Swarupam Vashti says Swarupam, it reveals the reality means what's enough. It reveals the reality. So why do I say Swarupam of Brahma reality? Because reality has to be understood in terms of its Swarupam. When I say Upanishad, this part of Upanishad reveals the reality. This reveals the reality means what? Light reveals this chair. Light reveals this mic. Light reveals my color. Reveals my color means what? Light does not really, you know. Revealing means here, it brings to light the color. Light brings to light the color without doing any action, just by being. Without doing any action, without doing anything, without making any effort, just by being what it is, light brings to light the color. Light brings to light an opaque object. That is said to be what now? The object being revealed by the light. பொருளை விளங்கச் செய்கிறது. ஒளி பொருளை விளங்கச் செய்கிறது, விளக்குகிறது. ஒளி பொருளை விளக்குகிறது. It reveals means what? It brings to light means what? It's not an action, isn't it? It's a rupam by its nature. Similarly here also, Upanishad reveals the reality. But when I say light reveals this object, opaque object, light brings to this opaque object, when I say this object is grass, isn't it? Grass. So when reveals means how the object looks is very clear for you. How, what the color is clear. When you say Upanishad reveals the reality means what? What is it reality? Upanishad reveals the reality, what reality? What is the form of the reality? In what form is the reality? Light reveals this form, light reveals that form, but Upanishad reveals the reality means what is the form of the reality? Reality has no form, isn't it? No form. But it has to, it reveals means it must have its own form. That form is what now, there is nothing subtler than that reality. Therefore the reality, there is no form. The form of the reality is own swarupam. In what form is it? It is why the swarupam, reality is understood in terms of its swarupam. Therefore we have to say what Upanishad reveals this swarupam of everything. Look at this. Swarupam of every wave is H2O. Swarupam of, the word swarupam is very expressive Sanskrit word. Even the word English word we use, nature, intrinsic nature something, it's not enough. It's not as expressive, it doesn't express enough to what the word swarupam means. See, swarupam, I can say truth of the wave is H2O. I can also say what the most appropriate way is, the swarupam of wave is H2O. Similarly, swarupam of everything in this universe, swarupam of the entire universe, is what? Swarupam of the physical body, swarupam of the mind, swarupam of the prana, swarupam of everything is what? Swarupam of everything is the reality. Therefore, Upanishad reveals the swarupam of everything, the reality, reality of everything. Upanishad reveals the swarupam, the reality of everything. Is it clear now? So what we say now, Upanishad reveals the swarupam of the reality, I say. That means what? Upanishad reveals the reality, the swarupam of everything, which is otherwise known by the term Brahman. I think I explained the meaning of what Brahman last time, isn't it? Again, I can't tell you. Not a problem. Talking about Brahman itself is what? Auspicious beginning. And here, there's two ways of revealing the nature of reality. Revealing the nature of reality is revealing the reality. Revealing, bringing to light the reality, isn't it? So, revealing the nature of reality itself is revealing the reality. Revealing the swarupam of everything is what? Brahman. And then it uses two lakshanani. There are twofold lakshanas, no? Swarupa lakshanam and tatastha lakshanam. Swarupa lakshanam, tatastha lakshanam. What does it mean by the word say, by saying swarupa lakshanam, tatastha lakshanam? Tatastha lakshanam, when you say, indirectly, you know, helping you arrive at what Brahman is. indirectly helping someone to arrive at what Brahman is what Tatastha Lakshanam. Directly using the words which imply directly the Swarupam is called Swarupa Lakshanam. The Swarupa Lakshanam, Tatastha Lakshanam. See, Tataha in Sanskritam language, Samskrita Bhasha, Tataha means a lake or eri, kulam. Tataha. Tataha, Tadagaha means?
Tadagam.
Yeah, Tataha means. And then, Tatastha Lakshanam means what? Using that Lakshanam. See, when you want to show some hut, some hut or something, and where is the hut if you say, and you have to say, you can't directly show the hut is there. You have to show from distance to many some trees and big fields. Because in those days in villages, if you had to show some small hut somewhere in a village, very difficult to show. So how will you tell the address? There's no postman, there's no postcode, there's no navigator, satna and all that. You had to find, just walking, you had to go and find. Or you had to go with bullakat or something, not in bullakat, okay, just had to go walking. Then therefore they say, Tatastha Lakshanam means what? How to find out that hut? The big fields. So they'll say this something. You go from here and straight and you'll see first this paddy field and after that you'll come across this, corn field and then you will come across a small river-like stream and up other side of the stream, it's not like Thakajandranya, it's different, okay? And the stream, if you walk a little further, you can see one way, this path, and then footpath you will see, and after that, you will see three trees, and near the third tree, you will see three huts, off three huts, second hut. The hut is showing, Tatastha Lakshanam. Tatastha, it is on the bank of the river, means which side of the bank? Tate Asti. Tatastha Lakshanam. It is on the, where is the hut? It's on the bank of the river. It's on the bank of the river. There are so many huts here and there scattered. The river flows like that. So where is the tata? Where is the Tatastha Lakshanam means what? Tataha means also bank. Tataha also means the erikulam. Tataha means pond of the bank, river bank. So Tatastha means which we had to show. Is how arrived. Similarly, Brahman also arrived at. So the Lakshanam, not directly, this is what Maitri is directly indicating, showing, isn't it? That is not here, because Brahman is not an object. It has to be understood here. So some Lakshanam is given. Lakshanam means definition. A definition, which defines Swarupam of Brahman. And then they say that, what is the biggest, Brahman is the greatest, biggest thing. What is that biggest? The cause of the whole universe is the biggest. So it is a karana karyam. Brahman is presented as a karanam. That from which the whole jagat has come into being, the universe has come into being, that in which the whole universe exists, that into which the whole universe resolves, is Brahman. What is the reality? Edu paramparulna. Edu melana purul. What is that absolute reality? Absolute reality is that from which the universe has come into being, in which the universe exists, into which the universe resolves. Like what? With reference to ocean, the paramparul, the reality is what? H2O. Because from which the ocean has come, full of waves, and in which the ocean exists, and into which the ocean of waves resolve is the reality with reference to ocean. Similarly, here also, with reference to the whole cosmos, what is that? No? Brahman. That from which the universe has come into being, in which the universe exists, into which the universe resolves is what? Brahman. What is Brahman? A word which implies this Swarupam of everything, which implies the reality. A word, Brahman is a term which implies the Swarupam, does not indicate Brahman. Indication means what? They say mic directly indicates an object, because immediately the mind can think of an object, book, specs, when you say any word, sun, tree, you know, pumpkin, when you say anything, immediately the word can help you relate to the object. A word which helps you immediately relates to a given object, what indicating word. When you say implies means what? Word Brahman, Brahman, what does it indicate? Doesn't it indicate anything? Brahman is a word which implies what? The Swarupam. Implies the nature. Swarupam means what? How the reality is. It implies how the reality is. How does it imply how the reality is, what the reality is? It also says, the word itself says, what reality is not. The word, by saying, by revealing what reality is not, it reveals what reality is. One word does not indicate reality, like any word indicating an object. It implies what reality is not, thereby it reveals, implies what the reality is. எது பரம்பொருள் அல்ல என்பதை உணர்த்துவதன் மூலம் எது பரம்பொருள் என்பதை சொரூப புரிய வைக்கின்ற சொல் என்ன சொல்றது? த இம்ப்ளிகேஷன், தட் இஸ் வைஸ் பிரம்மன் இஸ் அச் வேர்ட், இம்ப்ளைங் வேர்ட். மைக், ஓகே, மைக், ஸ்பெக்ஸ், புக், கப், ஆல் த வேர்ட்ஸ் இமீட்லி இண்டிகேட் பிரம்மன். வாட் டஸ் இட் மீன்? நதிங். தட்ஸ் வை வி ஹேவ் டு அன்சீ த மீனிங். அண்ட் ஹியர் வி ஹேவ் தடஸ்த லட்சணம். Sir, we saw the first mantra which is a tatastha lakshanam of Brahman. Then we saw the second mantra which is a swarupa lakshanam of Brahman. And swarupa lakshanam means what? Swarupa lakshanam means it just tells what is the swarupam, exactly what swarupam is. What Brahman is not, thereby it says what Brahman is. Understand now? It is Swarupa Lakshanam. So the first, how do I say the first mantra is a Swarupa, the Tatastha Lakshanam of Brahman? How do I say? Because it says, it uses the word Yatha Sudeeptat Vispulingaha Sarasrashaha Jayante Tatha Sarve Bhavaha அக்ஷராத் பிரஜாயந்தே தத்ரச்சைவ அபியந்தி. சோ வாட் டஸ் இட் சே? சர்வே பாவாக, லுக் அட் திஸ். சர்வே பாவாக மீன்ஸ் வாட்? பாவக மீன்ஸ் எனிதிங் விச் இஸ் எக்ஸிஸ்டன்ட் இஸ் அ பாவக. சர்வே பாவாக, ஆல் தி ஆப்ஜெக்ட்ஸ் விச் ஆர் எக்ஸிஸ்டன்ட். சோ ஆல் தி ஆப்ஜெக்ட்ஸ், ஆல் தி ஆப்ஜெக்ட்ஸ் விச் கான்ஸ்டிடியூட் த ஹோல் காஸ்மாஸ், டிஃபரண்ட் வெரைட்டிஸ் ஆஃப் பீயிங்ஸ், elements, elementals, living things, non-living things, the mobile beings, immobile beings, all these beings, all the actions, the functions, the reactions, and the, you know, all the subtle also you have to understand. Anger, desire, etc., all the varieties of subtle and gross things which constitute the whole jagat are what? No, bhavaha. Bhavaha sarve, all these things which are existent, no, from where they all come from, that reality, come from that reality, that, and then they, when they are there also, they exist in that reality only. Again, they go back into that reality, they resolve into that reality. He says that. That is what is Brahman. So, Aksharam, and here he uses the word Aksharam. Aksharam is what now? Imperishable, indestructible, the reality. No, which, from which alone all these objects which are existent, which constitute the whole jagat, have come into being, and which alone the objects exist, and into which objects resolve, that is the reality. It is Brahman. And what is the example he gives? Vispulingaha, like there is a big fire, no, and then from there conflagration of fire, and vispulingaha, right, no, many, many countless sparks of fire, they all come. And then when they are there are sparks also, the sparks are what? They are hot and brilliant. They retain the nature of that is there also. Every spark has what? Heat, That's the brilliance. And after some time, it goes. All the sparks disappear. What happened to them? They join the fire again. The fire principle joins the fire. Isn't it? So, the fire, it was already a fire, and from which all the sparks are born, from in which the sparks remain, again into which the sparks resolve, isn't it? Like that, the fire is similarly, the reality Brahman is that, from which alone all the bhavas, all the which are here, they all have come into being. There's nothing which is not come into being from Brahman. Like a pot is from clay, the chain is from gold, snow is from water. Now we have to say like this: what? Every being has come into being from that reality only. Only one reality. And where do they exist again? Well, existing also, they are not away from the reality. Look at this. Another thing. The wave has come into being from H2O means, the wave is never away from H2O. The wave, where does it exist? What location of the wave again? Same H2O. Okay, wave resolves means, where does it go back? What happened to the wave? The Namarupa wave resolves into what? Again, same H2O. It is never, the existent, the bhavaha is never away from reality. The reality is the origin of existence, coming to being, it is the origin of existence and origin of resolution also. That is what is reality. So, that is what is Brahman, the reference to the whole Jagat. So it doesn't say direct, it doesn't imply Swarupam here. It only says what? Brahman is that reality from which all the bhavas have come into being, in which the bhavas they exist. Bhavaha means existent thing, All these objects exist, into which all the objects resolve, is that Brahman. When you say, it is a tatastha lakshanam of Brahman. It says Brahman is something which is not away from what is. Brahman alone is there as everything. Tatastha lakshanam. When you say swarupa lakshanam, what swarupa lakshanam? The word implies how Brahman is, how the reality is. When I say Brahman, you may think of some form, no? No? Brahman is what here? The reality is, the word Brahman itself is another word. There are many words which are used in the second mantra. Every word implies what Brahman is not. It also says what Brahman is. Every word implies what the reality is not. What the reality is. It says that. And let us say the first word, Brahman itself. Brahman, when you say, why the reality, Paramparulukku, why Brahman, the name Brahman here, why it is implied with the word Brahman? Because you have to say, Brahman itself tells that which is big. Brihat means big. I told you many times in the class, again repeating it. Today for the purposely I am repeating. Brihat means big. And that's why we have a Devi called Periyanayaki Amman. And Brihadishwara. Also we have. So, Brihat means Brahman. Brihatvat Brahman. Migap periyada irupadal. Migap periyade endu sollapaduvathu. Tamil solradhukku. What is Sanskritam? Brahman. So due to its bigness, it's called Brahman. Again, you say big means how big it is. How big it is? Your big is an adjective. So any adjective is a relative term. When you say it is big means, it is big. It is as big as what? Bigger than what? Is there anything which is bigger than that? You have to ask all these questions. So you have to say no. That which is big means how big it is? Incomparably big, you have to say. Incomparably big. Why incomparably big? There is nothing which is as big as that. When there is nothing which is as big as that, so you can understand there is nothing which is bigger than that. Isn't it? It's also understood. That is incomparably big. And incomparably big means what? You can't say it is as big as mountain, as vast as ocean, not like that. Incomparably big means there's nothing which is as big as that reality. அதற்கு ஒப்பான பெரிய பொருள் வேற ஒன்றும் கிடையாதுன்னா அதை காட்டிலும் பெரிய பொருள் எப்படி இருக்க முடியும்? There is nothing which is bigger than that also. So that means what? The bigness implies that is the biggest. Incomparably big means that is the biggest. There is nothing which is bigger than that. Nothing which is as big as that also. Incomparably big. Not only that we say, incomparably big means how big it is. It is limitlessly big. Incomparably big. Limitlessly big. Limitlessly big means what? Again we have to say limitlessly big means, no? What do you mean by being big limitlessly? We say, then it says, all the objects exist in this universe. Look at this. Every object which forms a part of the universe. The prapanchatin angama virkindra ovvondrum. We have to take everything forms part of the universe. What if we can take even subtle elements or the gross elements, even the grossest elements and the elemental products, living things, non-living things, mobile beings, immobile beings, everything could say, everything is what now? An object of knowledge. anything and everything which forms part of the universe is an object of knowledge. Anything which is an object of knowledge now is subject to three limitations. There is no object. Ariyappadu porul. Okay, when you say object, what does it mean here? Everything in this universe, anything which forms a part of the universe is definitely an object of knowledge. Okay? Anything which is an object of knowledge is subject, definitely subject to three possible limitations. So three possible limitations, what are the limitations? We say every object has a date of birth. That means what? Every object has beginning, every object has definitely an end. Whatever it is, living or non-living thing. Even the stones, they have some time. Okay? Beginning and an end. And in between beginning and end also, every object is constantly subject to change, undergoing changes. Therefore now, every object, there is a time when an object is not there. There is a time when the object, no, is there. Again, there will be a time when the object will not be there. So what? Every object is subject to time limitation, bound by time. Ovvoru porulum kala varaiyarekku utpattathu. There is no object which is not bound by time, which forms a part of the jagat. No object. Everything has beginning, everything has a time, everything has an end. A beginning time of beginning time, ending time. And in between, undergoing a lot of changes. Which object, tell me? Nothing. Everything subject to time limitation, bound by time. And similarly, every object, subtle or gross, also is what now? Bound by spatial limitation. Everything subject to time, spatial limitation. And our given object, however big and huge it is, you know, however big and huge it has spatial limitation. You know, Ganga is said to be largest river, longest river. It is not here, only north, not even south India. Thames is not anywhere. Huge hills we have still. Hills also what have spatial limitation means what? An object which is in a given place is not elsewhere. I mean, every object has, suppose it comparatively, one object may occupy more space than the other, but there's no object which pervades every entire space. Therefore, every object is what? Subject to spatial limitation. an object is subject to spatial limitation also. There is no object which pervades everything. In the whole of the cosmos, you know, of all the objects, every object is bound by time limitation, subject to time limitation, bound by time, I said. Time factor itself is bound by time. Time also has time limitation. Understand? Now we'll come to this now. When you have spatial limitation, everything, every object subject to spatial limitation, only one object which is subject to, which is bound by time limitation, but which is not bound by spatial limitation, that is space. Space alone of all the objects which form part of the universe, which forms a part of the universe, you know, space alone is free from spatial limitation. There is no place where the space is not. There is no place where the space is not. Space is all pervasive. Space pervades everything. So the space alone is free from spatial limitation of all the objects. When you say object means what? Anything which is known, which is an object of knowledge, is what now forms a part of the cosmos, the universe. The whole universe, please understand, the whole jagat is constituent of things, objects of knowledge. Ariyappadugalin koote padai prapanchamna. The whole universe is what? The constitution of objects of knowledge. Subtle or gross, living or non-living, visible or invisible, perceptible or imperceptible, mobile or immobile, all of them are what now? You know, this, everything is as what now? As time limitation. And I said, time also has time limitation, I said. Now, of all the objects, everything is subject to spatial limitation. Except one object. What is that? Space. Space alone is free from spatial limitation. But this space, which is free from spatial limitation, is also what? Bound by time limitation. And also one more thing. The third thing is what? Object limitation. Third limitation is what? Object limitation. Now what is object limitation? One object, any one object being different from the other object is what? Being limited by the other object. The chair is just the chair. You can't chair is table, table is everything you say, you can't say. Because chair serves a different purpose, table serves a different purpose, isn't it? And then light serves a different purpose. So every object is different from every other object. Because every, how many objects are there? Understand, so many. Because the universe is vast, we say. Everything in this universe is different from every other thing. Different. So many differences. So many differences. How different they are, there's a variety. Isn't it? Everything is different from every other object. So what? Every object being different from every other object is what? Said to be object limitation. Said to have object limitation. Every object being different from every other object is said to have object limitation. As limited by another object. There is no object. There is no object in this which forms a part of the universe is not bound by object limitation. Now I said, what about space now? Space is different from other elements. Space is not fire. Understand now? Space is not other object. Therefore what? Space has what now? Object limitation. Space has time limitation also. Understand now? Therefore, we say space is free from spatial limitation, but the space also has what now? Other two limitations. Object limitation and time limitation. Is it very clear now? Everything, so the Satya which is free from all the three limitations. So what do you mean by, therefore, the reality, what is it reality? You have to say now. Therefore, nothing, it says, no object which forms a part of the universe is what now? Reality, the Brahman, is not, reality Brahman is not anything which forms a part of the universe. Parambarul, prapanchata edhum allanache. Reality is not anything which forms a part of the universe. Why? Because every object is subject to limitation, three limitations. What about Brahman? Which is not subject to threefold limitations. So not being bound by these threefold limitations, being free, not being limited, okay? Being free from these threefold limitation, possible limitations, is what now? Being limitless. Not being free from these threefold limitations, time limitation, spatial limitation, object limitation is what now? Brahman, the reality is free from time limitation, is free from spatial limitation, is free from object limitation also. How we have to understand? Therefore, what now? It's said to be limitless. It has to be limitlessly big. Have you got it now? Why it is said to be limitlessly big means what? Limitlessly big means it's incomparably. Limitlessly big means it's free from time, spatial, object, all three limitations. Therefore what? Because it's free from all three possible limitations, everything in this universe, every object may be subject to all the three limitations. Isn't it? Brahman, the reality is not any of the objects. Brahman is not the universe. Brahman is not anything which forms a part of the universe. Understand now? This one thing. What Brahman is not, it says. Why? But then, therefore, this is the word, first word. Free from all limitations. Then what is that Brahman then? What is that? Brahman. If Brahman is not anything, the very word Brahman tells you, Brahman is not anything which forms a part of the universe. Brahman is not the universe. Brahman, the reality, is not the universe. Why? Because the very word Brahman tells, Brahman, the reality is that which is limitlessly, incomparably big. Being incomparably, limitlessly big means there's nothing which is as big as Brahman. And there is nothing, okay, that means it is free from all three possible limitations. Why? Because everything in this universe is what? Subject to all three limitations. If a Brahman, the reality, is not anything in the universe, then what it is? Isn't it? It has to say that. So after that is why, what that Brahman is and what that Brahman is not, it says, no, that word is what now? The defining word is called Swarupa Lakshanam. Understand now? The second mantra tells the Swarupam, Swarupa Lakshanam, what Brahman is, what the reality is not, but what the reality is, that is said by the other words. Divyaha. Hyamurtaha Purushaha Sabahyabhyantaraha Hyajaha Apranaha Amanaha Shubhraha Akhi Hi Aksharat Paratav Paraha. Okay. And he says, what that is, every word is what now? Implies the Swarupam of Brahman, Swarupam of the reality. It was called Swarupa Lakshanam. Second mantra is what now? That is Swarupa Lakshanam of Brahman. First mantra is what? Tatastha Lakshanam of Brahman. Second mantra is what? Swarupa Lakshanam of Brahman. This also we have always seen. So here, because it's going to tell you later on, first it just tells you, even this mantra, second mantra, will not remove the vagueness about Brahman, vagueness about the reality. It will not remove the vagueness. It only tells what Brahman is, what Brahman is not. He says, Divyaha. He said, Divyaha means what? Yeah, that which is of the nature of effulgence. That means what? That which is of the nature of knowledge. That which is the nature of knowledge. Knowledge is the Swarupam of Brahman. Divyaha, the word implies, Divyaha means that which is effulgent. Vilanguvadu, Thanaga Vilanguvadu, Vishalradu, Divyaha. Self-effulgent, that which is effulgent means what? Effulgent means that which reveals its presence by itself. That which is self-revealing. Effulgent, always you have to remember the word, when you read English books, translations, very funny. Oh, effulgent means what? And people draw some lines, okay, and some glow around the face to confuse more. If anything you see, any glow around the face, some aura, the people draw all those things to add to the confusion, already existing confusion. Again, what is the aura? You see, no? The physical eyes, object, isn't it? So, effulgent means what? That which is self-revealing. In this context, okay, Divya means that which is self-revealing. If that which is self-revealing means what? That which is of the nature of knowledge. That which is of the nature of knowledge means what? The reality is in the form of pure knowledge. What is pure knowledge? That we understand. That is why we now know it is in the form of pure knowledge. It's what implied by the word Divyaha. Divyaha implies. Understand now. Now, what do you mean by self-effulgent? Self-revealing means what? You know, you do not need another torchlight to know whether sun is there or not. Even in dark England in winter, even now, you don't need a torchlight to know whether there is sun or not. Why? Because sun is self-luminous, about self-revealing. Isn't it? Not only self-revealing, it also what it brings to light other objects also. What action does it do? It doesn't need to do anything. Light has to be there. The light is, it is self-revealing. To know whether there is light or not, you don't need another light. It is light is there and you don't need another light. Another torch light or any other light. And in the presence of the light, all the objects also come to light. Isn't it? Like that, this Brahman is what now is a self-revealing. Therefore, what said to be what? Self-effulgent. Divyaha. Okay, if it is of the nature of pure knowledge, then does it have any form then? What is the form of it? Immediately we'll think. Divyaha means, effulgent means, you can think of anything, any glittering thing. That is why immediately opens amurtaha. Murtam means form. Okay? Amurtaha. The reality is what now? Is of the nature of formlessness. It is formless. That means what? It negates what? Any object which has a form. Reality is not any object which has a form. Now it negated already what? It reality is not any object which is dependent on some other light to come to light. Reality is self-revealing means reality is not an object which is dependent on some other light to come to light. It is self-revealing. is a pure knowledge. And what is amurtaha? Reality is not anything which has a form, any object which has a form. What is reality? Reality is formless. Formless. Then purushaha. It's not a nice, very interesting word. This reality, which is self-revealing, which is pure knowledge, and which is not anything which has a form, that means which is formless. What is this now? It also, every word tells what reality is not, what reality is. Did you notice that? So you have to negate what? Anything which has a form, isn't it? Now, purushaha. Purushaha means what? I told you, purushaha literally means the person. The person, what it means here, that which pervades everything, that which fills everything, then that which indwells everything. Two meanings. Sarpure ushati iti purushaha. That which indwells every being, everything is purushaha. Every being means not a living thing, a non-living thing, everything. Which wave is not indwelled by H2O? Tell me. H2O indwells every wave. So H2O fills the entire ocean. Spure ushati iti purushaha. Sarvam purayati iti purushaha. Isn't it? With reference to ocean, we say H2O is the reality. Why? Because H2O indwells every wave. H2O fills the entire ocean. Therefore, H2O is purushaha with reference to the ocean. Similarly, what is reality? Reality is that which fills everything, entire cosmos, which indwells every being. Isn't it? Pure ushati sarvam purayati iti purushaha. Ovvondrilum iruppadu, anaithilum nirambi iruppadu. Look at this. Is purushaha. It means what? If it fills everything, if it indwells everything, what now? It is there as the very existence, Purusha. Okay? Purushaha. Then when immediately, if you say it fills everything, it indwells every being, means what now? Inside or outside? Sabahyabhyantaraha. He says now, Sabahyabhyantaraha. It is inside, it is outside, okay? It has no, when you say, reality has no inside, outside. Understand now? H2O has no inside, outside with reference to ocean. You can't say wave is inside the ocean. The wave is in the water, inside the water. Water is inside the ocean. You can't say that. Water has no outside, water has no inside with reference to ocean. Sa bahya, bahya bhyantaraha. It means what? Reality is that which has no outside or inside, in fact, in which everything is. Understand now, all that are there, which have outside and inside, they all exist where? In that only. Any object has outside and inside. Any object has inside and outside. But every object which has inside and outside exists where? In that reality. Which is what? Which pervades everything. Sa bahya abhyantaraha means what? Antaraha asti, bahi also asti. That which is inside, that which is outside, that which is everywhere is what now? Sa bahya abhyantaraha. The word purusha is further commented upon by these words, sabahya abhyantaraha. Ullum, velilum, ellavatilum, neekkamara nirendirikkira parambarul. When you say bahihi, veliya, antaha, ulle, ullum, velilum, yengum. In fact, in Tamil we have a nice word. Ingu, enru, enamal, angu, enru, enamal, yengum, neekkamara nirenda parambarul. You say that, no? Not only here, not only there, everywhere that which is pervade, that which pervades irremovably. That word nikamara, I like it. Can you ever remove H2O from ocean? Can you ever remove H2O from wave? If you remove, what will happen? Wave will disappear, isn't it? Wave will disappear. That is why irremovably, that which remains pervading everything, inside and outside of everything, without it, it has no outside and inside. Water has no inside, water has no outside. But the water remains, pervades the entire ocean. No water is in this part of ocean, that part of ocean, no. Water is everywhere. That is why we say here, this is sabahyabhyantaraha. It means it pervades, only which is said purushaha, it pervades everything. That means what? It is said, no, it's always there. So he says, ajaha. Now still here, first word tells, reality is of self-revealing. It is not an object which is dependent on some other light to come to light. It is formless, therefore it is not an object which any object has a form. It is formless, not any object which has a form. Purushaha, because it involves every being. But objects not involve, understand now, every being and everything, it pervades everything, fills everything. And it pervades, it is inside, outside of everything. No? And then therefore what? It pervades everything. Ajaha. Till here, it talks about what? How reality is being spatially limitless. He said. No, ajaha. When it says ajaha, it says how reality is of the nature of timelessness. Free from time limitation. Why? It is ajaha. Ajaha means what? Unborn. Unborn means what? It has no beginning. Uncreated, unborn. Unborn means what? Uncreated means what? It has no beginning. Why it has no beginning? Because it has no cause. Anything which has a cause has a beginning. An object which has a cause has a beginning. Now what do we say? The whole cosmos, which is constituent of many objects. Now, every object in this universe has a beginning. Know why it has a beginning? It has to time limitation. Because it has a cause from which it has come into being. Understand now? Every object, any object which has a cause has a beginning. Anything which has a beginning definitely has an end also. Therefore what? It is subject to time limitation. This is how you have to understand. How do you understand that given object is subject to time limitation? Why? Because it has an end. At there be a time, it will disappear. So when it is, why? Because it has a beginning. Why it has a beginning? Because it has a cause. Understand now? What about the reality? Reality is unborn, uncreated. It has no beginning. So this itself implies what? It has no end also. Does it mean that it's non-existent? No. It exists always. That means what? It has no cause. Uncaused. But free from time limitation. So, amurtaha, purushaha, sabahyabhyantaraha, three words reveal the reality being spatially limitless. And ajaha implies reality being time-wise limitless. Okay? And divyaha implies reality being knowledge, pure knowledge. So, three words. Understand? Now it says, apranaha. Apranaha means a simple thing. It says, we have to understand apranaha, the reality. Now, reality without which this cosmos cannot exist at all. Like what? With reference to ocean, H2O is the reality. Because why do you say reality? Because without H2O, the word ocean will be meaningless. The word wave will be meaningless. That which gives life to the ocean, that which lends existence to the ocean, is the reality of the ocean. Isn't it? What is rupam of the ocean? H2O. The H2O, the swarupam of the ocean, the swarupam of the wave, which alone lends existence to the ocean and the wave, is said to be the reality of the ocean. Similarly, with reference to the whole cosmos, you know, the swarupam of the cosmos, the swarupa of every living thing, non-living thing, every subtle element, the gross element, elementals, living and non-living, mobile, immobile, all the beings is what? Swarupa is one and the same. That reality is what now? You know, in fact, said to be, said known by the word Brahman, that reality is what? That reality has no prana. Reality has no pranaha. Parampurulukku pranan illai. Understand now? But without reality, there cannot be an object called pranaha. Without H2O, there is no wave. But you can't say H2O has waves. H2O does not have waves. H2O does not have waves. But there is no wave without H2O. That means what? H2O is not the wave, but the wave is H2O. Therefore, what? We cannot say H2O has waves. There is no possessed connection between H2O and the wave. Is it clear now? Similarly, you can't say reality has prana. There is no possessed connection between reality and prana. But what is prana? Prana is an object which is nothing but the reality. Like wave is nothing but H2O, prana is nothing but reality, but the reality has no prana. Understand now? So anything which has a prana, a living being, is what now? Reality is not any living being, but every living being is what? Nothing but reality. Apranaha, when you say reality is not any living thing. Anything which has a prana is a living thing, isn't it? Any being which has a prana, sapranaha means what? Sapranaha, apranaha. We have that. Reality is not anything which has a prana. Not a living being. They don't ask me, reality is non-living thing or what? No. You have to say that also. But reality has no prana. But prana itself is what? The reality. A prana, the object called prana is nothing but reality. A living thing which has a prana also is the reality. But the reality is what? Has no prana. Is free from pranas. Like H2O is free from waves. Means what? H2O is not a wave. But wave is H2O. Similarly, so prana, sapranaha means what? You can say any living being is saprana only. So here we say amanaha. Amanaha means what? Anything who has a mind? Only human being, isn't it? Therefore, amanaha means reality has no mind, but there cannot be, there is no mind without reality. There is no such object called mind without reality, but reality has no mind. Mind is nothing but reality, and a living being which has a mind, one who is every being, a being who is endowed with the mind is nothing but reality. The object called mind also is reality. Look at this, the mind is reality. A being who is endowed with the mind also is reality. But the reality has no mind. Is it clear now? Now, shubhraha. Shubhraha. See, why he has to talk, first he says Divyaha, when he says that which is not dependent on any other thing to come to light. Why? Because to be known, because it is Divyaha, self-revealing. That is why there was negated what? It is not a non-living thing, definitely. Not an inert thing. And now, apranaha, amanaha, he says now, shubhraha. Shubhraha means what? Pure. Because pure means what? It is purity. It is of the nature of purity. The reality is of the nature of purity. Pure means what? Thoomayanadu. Why? Because any dirt, any blemish, okay, any blemish, any dirt, any disease, any illness, any deficiency, any defect is there what? There's no defect or deficiency, disease or illness or no pain, nothing, no blemish or dirt outside of awareness, without awareness. But the reality is no impurity. Reality is pure, free from impurities. Reality is purity itself. Any dirt, any stink, any dirt in Ganga water. Water has nothing, isn't it? Unaffected. So here, the dirt here, the reality is free, doesn't have anything, it's pure. Similarly, aksharat parataha paraha. Now he talks about aksharat parataha paraha. What is aksharam? There's aksharam param. This reality is even superior, more superior now to that. What is that? There's something which is superior. What is superior? What is inferior? There's nothing which is inferior. Okay? Here, param, aparam means what? A cause is said to be param. Effect is said to be aparam. What is first is param. What comes later is aparam. Clay is param, pot is aparam. Why? Pot was not there before the clay. Isn't it? Pot was not there before the clay. Clay was there first. What came later on in the form of, even the clay alone becomes the pot, means the name and form, pot came later on, it's aparam. Understand now? So cause is param, effect is what? Aparam. Simple. Munna irukkodudu, pinna irukkodudu. Avladhaan. So here with reference to this whole jagat, I tell you, and our Shastram says very clearly, come on, the physicists are still struggling to understand what is that one matter, okay, one matter from which alone all this material jagat has come into being. Oree porulinudin maarvatta thotrangalna. For it is incomprehensible for this gross mind, even how this from this goldsmith is so intelligent man, using just the gold, and he filled his jewelry shop with varieties of ornaments, with different names and different forms, and they serve different purpose. And understand now, amazing, isn't it? Oru samana vechittu jewelry kara ulla panni vechirukana. He also the pot maker. All his only thing he has is clay. Using clay, how many varieties of earthenware? How many? Different names, different forms, different purposes. Different. There is a village in India, if you happen to go, I think next time when you come, I should take you one day. That is known for terracotta. Villages are so simple, ordinary people. And amazed, I always see, my God, Bhagavan has blessed their hands with what an amount of skill. I also tried one day. I want to go and play in that clay. I just tried that one day. But I couldn't do that. You know, the way they, how quick they are, how quick they make and keep, and then the orders, and then our Crafts Council of India really encouraging the all these big people, every society, the industrious women, they get together, they form the Crafts Council of India, and they go and buy this from the villages. They buy and make money, and they help them to sell, just to help them their economy, you know. They can't do it. And then, so I visited. And the terracotta, they do just the clay. Nothing else. You know, nothing else. Amazing work they do. Beautiful, very beautiful things. And people all like so much. Just the clay, using one thing. Only one thing. Okay? And we had to think of Bhagavan. What is Bhagavan here? The whole Jagat. What is this Jagat? What is this universe? What is this cosmos? Cosmos is a constitution of objects. You can say constitution of varieties of things. And all of them are objects of knowledge. All of them are objects of knowledge. Samagra lokam ariyappadu porul. Aladha. Porul karin kootunna. Understand, whole Jagat is objects of knowledge only. And we only the perceptible or gross objects of knowledge. There are imperceptible objects also, which are said to be subtle objects. Why? They're still objects of knowledge. Why? Because they're available for thought perception, not for sense perception. You know? You feel suffocating inside when you're not able to breathe, when you have cold and something. That suffocation is what? I can't see it through physical eyes. It is available for, you know, the difficulties. It's available for thought perception. The big nose is available for sense perception, isn't it? So what is available for sense perception is a gross object. What is available only for thought perception, understanding? Like head is available for sense perception. Headache. Understand. But headache is available for everybody, okay? Your head is available for everybody's sense perception. But headache is available only for thought perception. Therefore what? Both are objects only. Therefore subtle and imperceptible perceptible objects. Objects alone constitute the Jagat. Okay, all of them we say in what? Subtle and gross, all have are nothing but modified form of, like pot is a modified form of clay, means what? Clay alone is in the form of the pot. Clay alone is there, but what? In what form? Pot form. But when the clay becomes a pot, does clay become something else? No. Clay continues to be clay, but it still appears as the pot. Without having given up its clayness, no? Clay becomes what? Clay appears to be, clay appears in the form, appears as the pot. Similarly, we say, you know, whether it is that like that whole Jagat is what? Perceptible, imperceptible, subtle, visible, invisible. You know, all these objects, in fact, mobile, immobile, living, non-living, a stone or a rock, piece of rock or a stone or a river, water, understand, a clay pot or your physical body, I tell you, there's no difference. Understand now? All are what, in fact? Different appearances of one matter. Some has life, some have prana, some do not have prana. Different appearances. A tree, a living tree, a non-living log of wood, a living body, or a clay pot, or a non-living, a dead body. A clay pot, understand? All of them are what? Basically, no, appearances of only one matter. Only one matter. Only one material alone is in different forms. Whole jagat is what? That's why you say pancha bhautika prapancha. When you say the whole, we can say even the elements onwards you have to say. In the, because why we start with the elements? Because of elements only we know first. They are gross, in fact. Subtle elements and gross elements. Okay, elemental product. The whole universe is elemental model. We can say that. But even then, even the five different elements, different nature. No, one puts off fire, the fire, my God, entirely different, isn't it? Water is different from fire, completely different elements, but all are what again? Basically, they're all from one matter. What does it matter? And we say, energy is matter, matter is matter reduced is what? Energy. Isn't it? Gross form of energy is what? Matter, we say in physics. But here, even that energy also is gross with reference to Vedanta. Because energy also is object of knowledge, isn't it? Therefore, it has to be reduced because energy also is object of knowledge here. In fact, what is the instrument of knowledge? Where the energy is known. That mind also is object of knowledge, isn't it? Your own mind is object of knowledge. That means that what is that? One matter. That is the absolute, we can say, we call it param cause. Param, the matter in its subtlest original form. Okay, the original form of pot is what? Clay. The original form of wave is what? Swarupam is H2O. The original form of chain is what? Gold. The origin from where it has come into being is the original form, isn't it? Is what now? Like that. What is the original form of every form which forms a part of the universe here, object, now subtle or gross? That is subtlest power. Why do you say subtlest? Because it is imperceptible. That power is not available for thought perception also. Understand now? That power, the matter in its subtlest, why do you say matter in subtlest form? Subtlest means what? It is not available for thought perception or, of course, not for sense perception. Understand? And that power is given the name what? Maya. Say that now? Yes. Maya. Maya is the absolute power. Shakti. Maya is a name given, not a delusion, illusion, hallucination, okay? Maya is a name given to the matter in its subtlest original form. Maya is a name of the matter, name given to the matter. What is the matter? Original matter. Original means what? It is subtlest. Why it is subtlest? It cannot be comprehended at all by the mind. Why? Because mind itself is a product of that matter. But we are going to understand differently. Okay, the Shastra uses a different technique to make you understand what it is. That matter is called what? Maya. Why it is called Maya? You know that very well. Why matter in its subtlest original form is known by the word Maya? Because this matter has no independent existence. Ya ma sa Maya. That means what? That which is not by itself is called Maya. Understand now? that power. I told in the previous classes, remember, when you see the H2O and disturbance-free, silent waters, you know, in a stream or in a lake, and you say, there is water, there's water, what now, there's still water. And if there is stillness of water, there is still water in this pond, it means what? There are no ripples, there are no waves, there are no drops, there is silent, quiet, still water. And you say there is water, there is stillness of water. But you say stillness of water, there is stillness of water, and there is water, you say, is there stillness outside of water? No. Stillness is, stillness will be there even after taking away the water? No. Once you take the water away, will there be stillness? No. When the water is taken away, stillness alone cannot exist by itself. But can you say there is no stillness at all? No, because you see stillness. Understand? No. So, stillness is what? No, with reference to water, stillness is something which cannot said to be real, which cannot said to be, why? Because it cannot exist independent of water. We cannot say it is unreal because it is not something non-existent, it is very much there. So, what is it now? That which has dependent existence. If there is water, stillness can be there. Stillness of water can be there. Stillness of water can exist along with the water. Stillness of water alone cannot exist without the water. Therefore, what? The stillness is cannot said to be real because it does not have independent existence. Stillness cannot said to be unreal because it's not something non-existent. So what is stillness? Stillness is something which has dependent existence. So what is the name given to that? Mithya. With reference to water, stillness of water should be mithya. Understand now? So what is a satyam then? H2O. Why? Stillness, the existence of still, H2O is existence of stillness, therefore satyam, reality with reference to stillness is what? H2O. Similarly here also, please listen to me carefully, very important here. But what happens? The stillness undergoes a change, disturbed, and stillness becomes what? Waves and ripples. When the stillness undergoes a change to become waves and ripples, what happens to H2O? Still H2O continues to be there as H2O. Understand now? So like that, now we see the ocean full of waves, and all the waves are what now? Modified forms of stillness. All the waves you see are nothing but modified form of stillness. Stillness modified or what? Waves. Waves result or what? Stillness. So the whether modified form of stillness or original stillness, where does the stillness exist? Not outside of H2O. So what is that which lends existence to stillness, original stillness, or the modified stillness? H2O. So now waves are param. Sorry, waves are aparam, stillness is param. What is parasya param? What is parasya param? What is param for stillness? Param for waves is stillness. Look at this. Waves are aparam, stillness is param. First stillness, then disturb, then waves, isn't it? And what is param for stillness? H2O. Is it clear now? Similarly, please remember, similarly, the whole jagat now, subtle objects and gross objects which constitute the whole jagat are what now? Modified forms of the only original matter. That is param, called maya shakti. Shakti. Shaktikum mel edun geta, shivam. Doctor Sandoshma Arkupo. What is that which is, what is that which is param of shakti na? No, parataha param, the reality. Understand? That reality is, of course, awareness. That's a different thing. So the pure awareness, the reality, now tell me, we don't say which is superior, which is inferior also here. The whole jagat is modified forms of the only original subtlest matter. That matter is param with reference to the jagat. But what is superior to that param, The matter, that which really is endowed with this power. The reality which is endowed with this power. H2O is endowed with the power of stillness. Isn't it? The power wielded becomes what? Waves. Isn't similarly here also what now? We say this whole jagat, maya, shakti alone, what now? All these are modified forms of the only power, matter. And this shakti, there is no distance between, look at it, there is no distance between stillness and H2O. There is no distance between H2O and again the waves. Similarly, there is no distance between shakti and shivam. The awareness and the matter in subtlest form. The reality and reality, there is no distance between H2O and stillness. Similarly, there is no distance between the reality, the awareness and the power, the matter in its original form. There is no distance. It is not something different. The shakti, look at this. We cannot say there are two things. We have to say one now, two in one, okay? When you say H2O is there, when there is stillness is there, you cannot count, I told you even in Upanishadam class, you cannot count stillness as a second thing. Mudal porul, irandavad porul. Mudal porul, nir, irandavad porul, stillness. You can't count the water as first thing and stillness is second thing. Why you can't count? Because stillness has no countability. It cannot be counted as a second thing. Why stillness cannot be counted as a second thing? Because stillness has no independent existence. If stillness can exist even when the water is not there, then you can say stillness has what? Can be counted as a second thing. Then what is reality? The only reality. Why? Water is not the stillness, but the stillness is nothing but water. Therefore, one is two orders of the only reality. Therefore, one is satyam, another one is mithya. Mithya is satyam. Resolve mithya in satyam. Say what is there is only vastu H2O. Similarly, here, this whole jagat is nothing but objects. All the objects are the modified forms of the only matter. And that matter is what? Absolute power. Okay, in subtlest power. And that power is what? Nothing but the reality. But the reality is not the power. Understand now? Like H2O is not the stillness. But stillness is H2O. Therefore, the reality is not the power. The power is nothing but the reality. Parambarule shakti shakti. Understand now? Shaktiye parambarulna. Shaktim paramburulna. Therefore what? Whole jagat is nothing but that. You have to say that. But here what he says, parataha paraha, has taken you from where now? Is it clear now? What is that Brahman? What is Swarupa Lakshanam? And how are you going to understand that? He is going to say later on. Okay, now that Brahman, look at this, that reality, existence of the whole cosmos, existence of which alone is existence of Jagat, which is the existence of H2O is the existence of the ocean. H2O is the existence of the ocean. Nere Karalin Irupun Shalramadri, the existence of the whole cosmos, which is formless, which has no form, but all the forms are that reality. Which has no outside inside, but which is inside every inside and outside of everything. Okay? Which is not pervaded by anything, which pervades everything, which indwells every being. Amurtaha, he says, Amurtaha Purushaha Sabahyabhyantara, which has no beginning, which has no end, which has no cause. Look, which has no cause. No cause also. Therefore what? And which has no pranas, but all the pranas are that. And all the pranis also that. Living, no, those being the pranas also that. That has no mind, but every mind is nothing but that. And all the beings ended with minds are also that reality. So pure Shubraha, no, nothing can cause any impurity to that. Bring up any impurity on that. And this is absolute reality which has total independent existence, which is self-existent, which is self-revealing, okay, and which is superior to what? Even the Maya Shakti. What is Maya Shakti? The matter and original subtlest form, which is, doesn't exist outside of, distant from this reality, that is what is Brahman. Okay, having said this, now the next mantra Upanishad has to teach us. I have repeated the whole thing again, but you have to read this again at home. Now the same mantra is further, the third mantra, what happens, having said that, see, from mantra 3-2, okay. See, 3 to 9, all these words are explanation or commentary on the first mantra. I will stop here. The first mantra is further commented upon, same Tatastha Lakshma of Brahman is given, no? Using the Karya Karana Prakriya is further explained from 3rd to 9. What it says, third, Tatastha means what? It's going to explain everything that is there has come from Brahman. Come from means what? It seems, it's called Karna Karya Prakriya. When you say it has come, pot is made of clay means what? When you say pot has come from clay means, if we say clay is Karnam, pot is Karyam, one is cause, one is effect. This is a Prakriya. Using this methodology, cosmic methodology, this Upanishad is going to tell you, you know, it's going to help you the whole Jagat what you see. It's said to be known as known to unknown. Okay? You have to see the known. From the known, you have to arrive at what? The unknown. Arindhadai vaithu ariyappadadhi ariyanumna. And arrive at. So this is, that's why the six mantras, 3rd to 9, all the mantras reveal, talk through these mantras, using the Karana Karya Prakriya, cause-effect methodology, Upanishad presents Brahman as the cause of the universe. Universe is being shown as the effect. What is the purpose? Not that Brahman, it is like how the pot maker has made the pot out of clay. Not Jagat is not, it is not, it's going to say first the whole Jagat is, you know, manifestation of Brahman. It's going to say that. It is going to, in fact, negate the idea of universe being created. There is no creation. It's going to say, it is not creation, there is no creation, there is only manifestation. பரம்பொருள்னு ஒரு தோற்றமே உலகம் படைப்புக்கு உனக்கு கிடையாதுன்னு சொல்ல போறார். தட் இஸ் வாட் இஸ் கோயின் பி டாட். ஓகே, சோ தட் ஐ ஸ்டாப் ஹியர்.